Welcome to a Wednesday drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where there's been some significant Charlotte Hornets news today as the Hornets prepare to host Portland tonight. Remember, this is the first matchup between last year's number two and number three picks in the draft. But again, let's put a pin in that and put a pin in the news for just a little bit, because as the Final Four approaches, it's important to make a distinction between something being improbable versus being a fluke. If something is improbable, it's unlikely. It defies all odds or logic. Talk of a fluke, though, invites speculation about future considerations and whether something can be replicated. And as it relates to NC State, while the Pac's journey to get to the Final Four in the desert certainly qualifies as improbable, you shouldn't call it a fluke, because the infrastructure in place is real. And there is a foundation that's being laid for the Pac to build on this run. They should return four key contributors: Mo Diarra, Ben Middlebrooks, both of them in the post. Mike O'Connell has a COVID year. Jaden Taylor. None of these guys are getting drafted. So why wouldn't you return to campus where you're already local legends? Get some of that NIL coin. Be the rock stars on campus. Get to experience that. These guys have become March legends. Diarra playing during Ramadan. O'Connell, that Virginia shot's going to live forever. Jaden Taylor hit the go-ahead three against Oakland in that round of 32 game. And Ben Middlebrooks, how important has he been? It's also known that Kevin Keats's job is finally secure. Just because of making this run, not due to negotiation, but built-in incentives in his contract, three extra years have been added to his deal. And this comes a year after the NCAA investigation finished up, and since some punishment was laid down, he got two extra years added to that. So a contract that was supposed to end in 2026, expanded to 2028 when we learned of the Dennis Smith Jr. punishment, going back to Mark Gottfried, and then you get two extra years kick in because of the ACC championship, and one extra year kick in for making it to the Sweet 16. Kevin Keats is going to be around for a while. His contract goes through 2031. That's going to help in recruiting, specifically high school recruiting, as you just got finished beating Carolina in the ACC championship and beating Duke in the Elite Eight. That helps you locally. There was this talk in D.C. that the NC State donors were focusing on football. Dave Dorans deserved this. Let's make sure we're good at football. Make sure that the NIL is available for football. After going to the Final Four and doing what they've done here, there's going to be some more NIL investment into basketball, I'd venture to say, more than there was, say, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And related to that, Keats has a great opportunity in the portal. He's already been good at finding players. Steve Forbes at Wake Forest and Kevin Keats have this in common. They both come from JUCO background. In Keats's case, he coached at Hargrave Military Academy. And why that's relevant, they're used to rosters being fluid. If you're at a JUCO, it's a two-year situation. Your roster's always turning over. So you're comfortable with the fluidity of it and finding players and figuring out how to mesh them in and build that chemistry quicker so that you can win basketball games. So it's not a coincidence that Forbes has been terrific in the portal, but Keats has been really good as well. He found both DJ Horn and DJ Burns in the portal. He found Jarkel Joyner through the portal. Add this extra publicity of getting to a Final Four and replacing those types of guys, and Keats is going to have incredible opportunity to add through the portal. So, improbable? Absolutely. When you turn to the dictionary, the letter I into the word improbable, a picture of DJ Burns bodying up Kyle Filipowski in Dallas should be right there for reference. But don't call it a fluke. Don't call it a fluke just yet. Maybe a year from now we can revisit that. But the infrastructure is in place with guys you're probably going to return to say otherwise, that there's a chance that State can build on this run and make real progress, more progress than we've seen in a really long time for that program. Will Dalton is the executive producer of this show. Taking your calls, 336-777-1600. We're on X at WSJS Radio. It's also where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. WD, you know who we're having on the show today?
Our guy, Hayes Permar, Rod Brindamore.
That's right. Super NC State fan, but talking pucks, Carolina Hurricanes Cup. And the ACC Network's Luke Hancock will join us in just a bit. Once upon a time, he and Kevin Keats cut down nets together, 2013 Louisville team. You're a Charlotte Hornets fan. There's a lot to get to with the Hornets. Steve Clifford has announced that at the end of the regular season, he will be stepping down as Hornets coach. He'll enter a new position in the front office. He is the all-time winningest coach in Charlotte Hornets history. Clifford stepping down is what's best for this organization moving forward, because it's a new regime that's in place. They'll say, this is mutual, this is what Clifford wants, he's in the front office. Right, they can tell us all those things. The reality is, you got two pretty ambitious new owners, a young general manager that you just hired, a young core. They want to hire their own coach, handpick their own coach to develop Brandon Miller, LaMelo Ball, Mark Williams, this young core. And here's the thing. If you were an owner of a team or ran a basketball team, you'd want to do the same thing. You'd want to have your own coach. You'd want to have your own guy. Let's also not forget how this second tenure started, this second tour of duty. Clifford was not the first or the second choice by the last brass, the last brain trust. 2 years ago, it was, after letting go of James Borrego, it was down to Kenny Atkinson, who was an assistant for the Warriors. Pretty sure he still is an assistant with the Warriors. And it was Mike D'Antoni. That's what it came down to. They chose Atkinson. Atkinson accepted the job. And then sometime after the finals ended, Atkinson had second thoughts. And then he turned it down. So Charlotte does what you would naturally do. You then go to your number two option. Mike D'Antoni, do you want the job? At that point, he said, you know, not that interested. In other words, I don't want to be the second choice. I want to be your first choice. So no, I'm not going to go there. Someone has to coach the team, though. So you go back to something familiar. And that something familiar, of course, was Steve Clifford. But Charlotte is in a position they can do better than something familiar. With all due respect to Steve Clifford, he had his run of things with the greatest Hornets player ever, you could argue, and Kemba Walker, certainly one of the greatest ever, and never won a playoff series. The standard's not incredibly high in Charlotte, but you have new owners, a new core, a young team. So in an effort to try and change expectations, you want to have a different voice at the top that's new to the newness, rather than having most of his experience be with past leadership that's been largely unsuccessful. The other thing is, the job today is more attractive than maybe it's ever been. You got those new owners. You've got that new GM. You have a young team. A team that could have a top three pick in the draft. So The parts are all there. And it only made sense that Charlotte would take a swing at a top shelf coach when they got all this new into the building, the front office, ownership, etc. Only a few games left in the season. Charlotte says they're already beginning the process of trying to hire a new coach. WD, you're the Hornets fan, though. How did this news hit you?
It felt like a breath of fresh air because it never felt like Steve Clifford was the guy. As you just pointed out, he was their third choice. And so I like it. I'm excited to see what they're going to do. You think they're going to give Kenny Atkinson a call?
Hey!
Maybe poach him away?
It's not the same leadership, not the same job. Woj did throw some names out there. The league's top assistant coaching candidates that are expected to be considered in Charlotte's process. Sacramento assistant Jordy Fernandez, working alongside Mike Brown. Boston's Charles Lee. Miami's Chris Quinn. Phoenix's Kevin Young are some of the names being thrown out there.
Boston.
Will it be an assistant? Will it be a retread head coach? Plenty of time to figure that out. Charlotte is starting that process now. When WD says he has a NC State-themed Skips or Plays with Hayes for Hayes Permar, who joins us now, I thought maybe the fight song might make an appearance. I suppose not. This might be a good time to ask Hayes this. I never really had a team, a dog in the fight, so to speak, for any of the teams in the state of North Carolina, the ACC Big Four. But I always felt that State had the best fight song. I really did. I think it's the da 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 da. Go State. I always thought that was the best one. Wake Forest is pretty good. Da 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 da.
That is solid.
That's great. I think those are the top two, but I always felt State had the best fight song. Did you ever have a strong opinion about fight songs?
No, I mean, I feel like they're all sort of like adapted Army tunes when you go back and like research them. They all came out of the Army and Navy, I feel like.
Virginia has the good old song, which Sarah Bradford is so convinced. Oh, it came before Auld Lang Syne, the New Year's song. But I'm sorry, I don't want to hear that after touchdowns. All I'm thinking about is New Year's.
Yeah. Rambling Wreck of Georgia Tech and Hunting an Engineer. I like that one. I like the Georgia Tech one.
Nice.
It's really good.
I sang that. What was funny is I did the like I got the crowd going on that. Like at one point, I mean, I mostly stayed out of the way, but at one point, I think in between the men's and women's games, or maybe the TV timeout early in the men's game, I said, when we had folks here at the Rialto, I said, just welcome people, told them where the bathrooms were. And then I, did the singing and I realized, like, I don't even know the words to the song at all. I'm just going, hardcore fans know the words to
Wait,
the fight song.
There are words? I'm just kidding. Hayes Permar, you run the Rialto Theater in Raleigh and you had people there to watch. See, you talked about it when the ACC had this air quote partnership to broadcast games and theaters and such, but you had a screen and a pretty big one to watch the women's Final Four and the men's Elite Eight and the men's Elite Eight. What was the highlight of all of that? And since we're a little bit down the road here in the Triad, how do you explain what Hillsborough Street, the Bell Tower, all of that's been like for something that hasn't happened in my lifetime and close to your lifetime too?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to what you see on the Franklin Streets or Duke's campus. I don't know, what do they go, 9th Street? I think they go like on campus. But the cool thing about when it's an unexpected run is like there's no shame in like storming when you make the Sweet 16, win the ACC tournament, Sweet 16, regional final, you know what I mean? So it's fun to run out there every time. I went from, I stayed at the Rialto because we had the local guys, Ovius and Gilio, were podcasting here. And then I went and rolled down just because I wanted to see the bell tower. This was hours after the win, maybe two or three hours after NC State had won and secured the trip to the Final Four. And it was still lit up, still people walking around. It wasn't like as packed, but I wanted to go check out the Players Retreat, one of the oldest bars in Raleigh, very much like the Rialto, got a lot of Raleigh charm to it.
For those who don't know, the Survive in Advance 30 for 30, that's where the former Players
got together during that. It's basically across the street from the Bell Tower. And so I went through there, like giving high fives. It was one of those classic moments. You know me well enough, Josh Graham, where I don't need to be drunk to like act crazy, but it helps if everyone else is drinking, because then it feels like, okay, this is a more friendly environment to do that.
Such a great point, and I've stolen that thought from you so many times because it's so wise, where people look at me and they think I'm drunk. Like, yeah. They're like, no, I'm just around drunk people, which gives me license to act a certain way and act a little
fun. Unfortunately, then people look at you, like the staff, who, if I got to be honest, I love the PR. They were a little uptight for having just clinched a Final Four, and like they're all getting paid a ton during these games. They're making the best money. I mean, the owner's out there saying it publicly. We're making the most money we've ever made. And I was going around, I was just running to the PR, giving high fives. One guy jumped on a table and started going crazy, and I may have taken my shirt off and, you know, done the Petey Pablo thing. And then I was asked to leave because they're thinking this guy's drunk. Well, it's like, no, this guy's just really excited about the vibes at the PR. So it was like that. I don't know if there was a best moment. I mean, it is cool to be able to recreate. Normally you have to go to the game, not just to see the game in person, but like you're seeing the crowd. You're feeling the energy of watching a game and people react to a bad call or an amazing play. And you get a little bit of that recreated in that theater setting. And so that's pretty cool.
Hayes Permar with us here, never missing an opportunity to take his shirt off and stand on a bar. He's done that in Greenville, America, as well, as I've come to find out. Let's get to what WD has cooked up for us. It's an NC State-themed Skipser Plays with Hayes.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things. But he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's no friend of Satan.
He was like, oh, six, getting busy with the sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick.
And Trip.
I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for Skips or Plays with Hayes.
What you got?
Hold up. Any chance this run warrants you coming out of retirement for a parody song? Has anything popped into your head?
I'm just so creatively not on my game right now. I did think about it, but I have a process for when I have a parody song. So like I got DJ Burns name in my head, or like, you know, Chubby Baller, or like Wolfpack. So my usual routine would then start like pick a channel, either, you know, Beyonce or 90s or country or soul or 60s, and just get a playlist and listen to a song and then just skip to the next one if it doesn't immediately inspire like some sort of, you know, thing. And then you get like three or four hopping around, and usually one's like, oh man, this is gonna be good. And so I thought about starting that process, and I just haven't. I'm reduced to what clever phrases can I continue to put on the marquee at the Rialto. I was gonna put Honk for the Wolfpack, but we're on Glenwood Avenue and it gets kind of busy, and I'm worried that I like cause a wreck or something with like people honking so much. But I think I might do Honk for the Wolfpack. Might throw Why Not Us up there for a day. So my creative juices are limited to five words at a time basically now, instead of full songs.
What is the first NC State theme song for Hayes Permar?
So the top hit in 1983, to give you a clue of how long it's been.
In the spring, like March, April? Did you go specific
in,
month?
In March.
Oh,
March.
So you did go specific month.
Yeah,
okay.
To give you an idea of how long it's been since this has happened, was Billie Jean, Michael Jackson.
Kevin Keats said Michael Jackson's his favorite artist in the Matt Norlander CBS story.
Maybe he knew what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Keats knew he was summoning the spirits of 1983. This is obviously a play, right? I feel like this isn't Michael Jackson's best song, But for some reason, it feels like the quintessential Michael Jackson song to me, right?
I feel that too. I remember when he passed away, I went to go see Coldplay a month later in Raleigh, and they went to the back, like in the amphitheater in the grassy area, and they played an acoustic version of Billie Jean. So I love this song. It's probably my favorite Michael Jackson song.
It's a fantastic song.
Hey, Spermar.
Coming out of the box strong, yep. What do you have next, WD?
Now we're going to go She-Wolf by Shakira. I don't think he likes it.
Her hips don't lie. They're very truthful, Permar.
I don't think I've ever heard this song before.
And
I was willing
song.
To give it a chance with Shakira and obviously the spirit of the week, but I got to pass. Skip. I got to skip this. It's not good.
Man. No,
it was haunting.
Wow.
I didn't like it.
Well, all right, I'm
mean,
not worried
She-Wolf.
About it.
It is She-Wolf. It is kind of haunting.
I think I got the winning hand here.
Oh, do you?
I do.
How are you going to close this thing out?
Oh, I know it's going to be good. So this Final Four is going to be in Phoenix. Oh. So a song that mentions Arizona, Oceanfront Property by George Strait.
I got some oceanfront property in Arizona. From my front porch.
I was listening to Spencer Hall and Bomani Jones review the Beyonce album, and they were like, where was George Strait? Like, why do we, like, there were people that would have made more sense. Like, why Post Malone when George Strait was right?
Yeah. I wonder what is less believable, whether it's NC State making it to the Final Four in Phoenix or having oceanfront property in Arizona. Both seem improbable, but you could be the judge which of the two is more improbable. I think I might have told this story before, but I'm almost ashamed to admit this, but for a long period of my life, Hayes Permar, actually used to believe that there was oceanfront property in Arizona because George Strait sang it in the song, and I didn't understand the full context of the song.
You missed the purpose
but
of the song.
But it is a good question, though. What is more improbable, having oceanfront property in Arizona or State making it to the Final Four?
I don't know. Oceanfront property in Arizona. Actually, State making it to the Final Four. We're expecting Arizona to be oceanfront in, like, 20 years, right?
That's it.
We global warming's coming. Like, we didn't expect State to go in our lifetime.
There it is. Where's Gary Hahn? Global warming.
Let's go to the sidelines. Tony Haynes.
No, I was going to ask you. Are you going to Phoenix, Josh?
No.
Oh, you're not. You can't make it.
I'm going to listen to Gary.
Yeah. Well, I heard Gary was organized a trip to the border since they were over there in Phoenix. I hear he was going to check it. And just as a citizen. As a citizen, he wanted to see what's going on.
Let's go to the sidelines, Tony Haynes.
So we'll see.
Hayes Permar.
How long have you been sitting on that Gary Hahn joke?
Let's just say I told Dalton to be ready with the audio.
That's true. I wasn't going to spoil that, but yeah.
That's not even political. I mean, like, everybody's talking about
that. Let's go to the sidelines, Tony Haynes.
He's right there. He's definitely going to check it out. I drove north of the Grand Canyon. Gary's going south and checking documents.
Doing my own research.
Let's go to the sidelines, Tony Haynes.
Okay, so on the way out, what's the plan for Saturday night?
Well, we are fortunate to have the Rialto was founded as a theater, formerly under the name of the Colony in 1942. Also founded in 1942 was the North Carolina Master Chorales. They've been around for just over 80 years. And unfortunately, we didn't necessarily plan a year ago when we booked this concert for NC State to be playing in its first Final Four in 40 years. So we will be having the North Carolina Master Chorale. Should the Pack take out Zach Edey and Purdue, Monday night we'll have the game.
Okay. So what time?
Hey, also, it may be too late. I should have told you this earlier in the week. If you want to get a good guest for the show, basically the number two man in charge of the Purdue athletics program is a guy named Tim House, who went to State And I'm telling you, just like you in like third grade were telling your friends you're going to be a sports radio host talking about ACC basketball, this guy, in you know, from like third grade through high school was like, I'm going to be the state AD and I'm bringing back our athletic prowess. Like, I'm restoring glory. And everyone's like,
my God.
Sure. And darn if he didn't like get into sports management. And then he was like in athletics at somewhere and then somewhere, and he's worked his way up. And I don't know if maybe his goals are beyond NC State athletics now, because like I said, he's doing really well at Purdue. But I never thought that this guy would be as close as he is to being a Power 5 AD. And hats off to him, Tim House. He worked his butt off. You should see if maybe you should get him on the show. He would love to talk about the Pack. And I don't know what he'll say publicly, but I know privately, I don't care who signs his checks. He will be pulling for the Wolfpack this weekend.
It's a win. That's what we call a win-win in my
yeah. That's true.
That's pretty
true.
Good on Saturday night. Hayes Permar, having you on is always a win-win. Best of luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you.
If you do for the world's greatest entertainer, the hardest working man in show business. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show.
Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
You know the expression, save it for a rainy day? Today's one of those days. It is coming down right now. Which means I'm strangely connected to the TV screen I have in our studio. You can't see this if you're watching on YouTube, Twitch, or X, but got a big screen in our studio here, and it's been the same thing that's been running for the last 3.5 hours. A tarp on the field in Baltimore. The Orioles not playing right now. So the only thing that can cheer me up during a rainy day or a rainy afternoon right now, other than some of the best sports talk you'll ever hear, buddy.
Heard that.
Is if the New York Yankees are losing. What's the score of that Yankee game against the Diamondbacks?
It was 1-0 after two. Two outs, top third, 1-0.
Injected into my veins. Diamondback. What was the score last night?
7-0. Got shut out. So they haven't scored a run in 12 innings? 11?
That does cheer me up. Save that for a rainy day. Just bottle up.
We did.
That feeling with the Yankees lose. The Yankees lose. Let's get to DJ Burns, who can liven things up as well. He opened up a little bit to Scott Van Pelt, for as big of a personality that he has on the floor. You see him dancing to songs during commercial breaks. People post those videos before games. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see. It's 1.5 hours before tip. I'm watching DJ Burns warm up each day in DC, and he stands at the free throw line, WD. He has his headphones on. I don't know what he's listening to, but I've posted this video a couple of times from DC asking people wrong answers only what DJ Burns has listened to. He'll just stand at the free throw line and bob his head intensely. Like,
I love that.
And then I'd go up to get whatever food I was getting from the concourse. 5 minutes later, I'd walk back down. There's DJ Burns still standing in the same spot, bopping his head intensely. He's a character. Apparently, he plays the saxophone and the piano.
Really?
But the thing that people don't know, and there are misperceptions about DJ Burns, off the court, he's a pretty quiet guy. And that might confuse some people. This is quite common, actually, when I deal with athletes who step into the studio. They'll step in and they'll be shyer than they are when they're on the court. Why? Because they practice and play basketball and been doing that since they were kids. Speaking? Totally different deal. So when the cameras turn on, when the mics come on, you might get a totally different personality. And over the last few weeks, as DJ Burns has become the biggest star in the men's game, the guy that everybody in America's rooting for, these interviews have been hard to listen to. Dan Patrick couldn't really get anything out of him yesterday. Rich Eisen's asking when he picked up the weight.
Sir?
Nobody's really captured his personality. And then Scott Van Pelt talked to DJ yesterday. And he's going to be facing a true back-to-the-basket player in Zach Edey on Saturday from Purdue. This might have been my favorite quote from DJ Burns this month, talking about the matchup of facing Zach Edey. Again, this is courtesy of SVP SportsCenter.
Just a battle in the post. It'll be fun. You know, he's an interesting guy, you know, being all big and everything like that. So, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think Zach Edey might describe DJ Burns the exact same way. Let me make sure I get the quote right verbatim. An interesting guy being big and all that and everything.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Is that what he said? Big and everything like that?
He's an interesting guy, you know, being all big and everything like that.
Yeah, being all big and everything like that. There's that movie, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, that won Best Picture a year ago. I'd watch that movie, whatever he's describing, being big and everything.
He's an interesting guy, you know, being all big and everything like that. So.
Being all big and everything like that. DJ Burns. Then, the clip of Nikola Jokic lauding DJ Burns was brought up to him. Nikola Jokic saying that Burns was amazing, so skilled. You could tell that his teammates love him. I love the fact that he's a lefty. He was late to his press conference because he was watching DJ Burns. This was Burns' reaction to Nikola Jokic's reaction watching him.
Oh, man, I think it's the coolest thing in the world. You know, you can go up to my coaches, you know, right now and ask them who do I think is the best big in the league right now. And sorry, Embiid, but I'm going with Jokic. That's just how I've been since I've seen him play. I think that we have more of a similar playing style than myself and Embiid, and that's what really drew me to him out of the two.
Sorry, Embiid. So polite. Made sure to apologize to Joel Embiid. But that's the first time I heard Burns talk about him modeling his game after a guy today. If I hear an announcer on a broadcast crew again tell me how he used to watch tapes that his dad showed him of Hakeem Olajuwon, I'm going to hit myself in the face with a fist. But that's something new. Scott got him to open up. The dumbest thing that's come out of DJ Burns mania is the NFL angle to this. I blame NFL media. The NFL is king. Nobody's disputing that. The NFL is a 12-month-a-year sport. We get that. Nobody's refuting it. But NFL media, could you just let college basketball have 2 weeks? Could you just let college basketball have 2 weeks? Apparently not. So Peter Schrager, Jim Nagy, or whoever, the guy with the Senior Bowl, started talking about, oh man, there's some NFL scouts that I know that are bummed out, ticked off, that DJ Burns has become this big name nationally because they were planning to work him out at NC State. They were going to work him out as an offensive lineman. That's what they're going to do. Just look at that footwork. Look at that size. That, oh, this guy, he could be a great offensive lineman. This segment's getting very close to ASMR with all the different sounds that's coming out of my mouth here. I'm not intending for it to be so. But just the way WD's looking at me after the Yankee guttural cries and all of this.
You are like a jukebox. Like, you got different sounds.
Hey there.
Hey, Bryce.
Where's that? Isn't that the thing where you scratch the microphone?
Yeah.
This is my water bottle. Is that how that works?
That's exactly. And you know what? People like that.
People are into it.
They are.
See, we're changing the game here.
Absolutely.
This is not a game. This is a game changer. Just like DJ Burns apparently would be in the NFL. So Scott Van Pelt brought that up to DJ. And DJ spike that as if it was a shot to the rim by Kyle Filipowski?
I mean, yeah, you know, with my size and everything, there's going to be all the memes and jokes and what ifs and everything. You know, it's all cool for the media, but yeah, I'm a basketball player. I'm pretty sure about that.
Pretty sure about that. Let's take this to the next level. The way NFL media has to get involved in the mix, let's do our thing. How about hockey? Let's get 6'9", 275-pound DJ Burns on ice. See what Rod Brindamore thinks about that.
Be curious to know.
Canes coach Rod Brindamore is joining us in 10 minutes, by the way. We can ask him. Hey, you plan to do some private workouts? You share a building with him. Figure that one out. Can you look up how big Zdeno Chara is? I'm going to rely on you to spell Zdeno Chara. And I'm pretty sure on skates, he's pretty close to 7 feet tall. I don't know how much Zdeno Chara weighs.
6'9".
Same height as DJ Burns. How much does Zdeno weigh, according to a very reliable source, Google?
256.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not that terribly far off. So, hey, DJ Burns, look at that footwork. Maybe he could be the next Zdeno Chara. Is that how this is done? I think.
Probably.
DJ Burns, there are misconceptions out there. Some say he's unhealthy. He doesn't eat the ice cream, you guys, when they do that. Some say that, oh, he's loud. Oh, man, look at him. He's got a big, loud personality. Not off the court. And some say, oh, he's a big, burly, back-to-the-basket type of player. He's not a rim protector. He's not. He's not your conventional back-to-the-basket, let's turn to your inside shoulder and try to draw fouls type. No, he wants to fade away and beat you with footwork, and he's more of a finesse big. A point center, as Ian Eagle joked in referring to him. But it was really cool to see him open up there a little bit.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You know what's not fun? Sinking concrete slabs or external stairs that are pulling away from your home. These are warning signs that your home's foundation needs help. So where do you go? Tar Heel Basement Systems, the answer to that question on the inside. Be on the lookout for excess humidity or musty smells and mold. Tar Heel Basement Systems. The longer you wait, the worse the problem will get. Schedule a free inspection. TarHeelBasementSystems.com. Now, Tar Heel Basement Systems. There's a reason they are the local, trusted experts. Last night was the McDonald's All-American game. Did you catch any of that?
Nope.
Here are some takeaways. Ian Jackson's going to be RJ Davis's replacement. Probably playing off-ball, more off-ball with Elliot Cadeau coming back. He scored 21 points. Sounds pretty good, right? On 21 shots.
Ooh.
He reminds me of Kobe White because he's 6'5". That's what he's listed at. Kobe was around 6'4", 6'5". RJ, I don't think, has any reason to come back anymore. Sure, he can make money NIL-wise, but if you come back, you're not going to get drafted a year from now. This year, you're going to get drafted. And if you have any dream of playing in the NBA, I think you're going to go, especially, you know, with Ian Jackson coming in, you probably are going to have a little bit more congestion when it comes to your playing time if you return. Cooper Flagg, that's going to be a circus. You could see his all-around game. He's going to be such a disliked figure. He is. He has this I don't give a rip type of personality that you can see. It just exudes off of him.
A dog? Is that?
That's not the way I'm putting it. I just think it's a swagger. And
in a good way, though, right? Or
depends on how you feel about Duke. Because generally, that is a good thing for teams that people don't hate. You like that swagger when it's DJ Burns. If DJ Burns played for Duke and had that swagger, you don't like that swagger as much anymore. Generally. That's how that works. So he's also very expressive in a way that Filipowski has been. That there's going to be a lot of hype, a lot of attention. Cooper Flagg is going to be a disliked figure in college basketball. He's going to be a villain, and here's the thing. I think he's perfectly fine with it. The other two local signees struggled. Duke's Isaiah Evans and Carolina's Drake Powell combined for 0 points on 0-for-9 shooting. As if they were Caleb Love or RJ Davis from three last week.
See what you did there.
Another weird sound in this segment.
You got it going on. What you looking for there?
Some more ASMR opportunities. Here's a hockey puck.
It's my water bottle.
WD, I used the hockey puck for a reason.
I know.
Transitions.
That's right.
Should we expect Canes coach Rod Brind'Amour to be on Hillsborough Street or at the Bell Tower if NC State wins on Saturday? The Canes aren't playing and they're at home. It's a fair question to ask. And we'll ask him. And also if DJ Burns can be a hockey player. Because why not? When Rod joins us next. For the last 20 years or so, the Carolina Hurricanes have been collecting banners in the rafters of PNC Arena. It's been a while since their co-tenants with NC State basketball put some up there, but they're catching up this spring in ACC Championship, a Final Four appearance, and we'll see what happens in Phoenix. We are now being joined on the line by a giant NC State fan who just so happens to be the head coach of your Carolina Hurricanes. It's Rod Brind'Amour joining us ahead of the Canes' final homestand of the regular season this weekend. Rod, the schedule's kind of worked out that you haven't played at the same time as the Pack during the tournament. So how much have you been paying attention to it?
Oh, watch it all. Everything that I can. I mean, obviously, like you said, we've been a big state supporter for a long time. I married into it, so didn't have much choice. But it's been a fun to watch, this last few weeks, that's for sure. They've certainly pulled it all together.
Who's been more nervous during the games, you or your wife, Amy?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I'm not nervous about it, but I'm more nervous that something in the house is going to go, if they don't win now. So, furniture flying or whatever. So we're definitely into it, and so is most of Raleigh. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we need to get to the hockey in a bit, but you're not playing Saturday night, I've noticed. So what's the plan? Yeah. Hillsborough Street, Bell Tower? What are we doing, Rod Brind'Amour?
Right in the house, right where I need to be. Best seat in the house. We'll be watching, and I think it's just great. Great for the program. They needed it. I think it's been a long time coming, and hopefully they can finish it off.
I think I saw that either Kevin spoke to your team or you spoke to their team. Kevin's been there a while now. What relationship, if at all, do you have with Kevin Keats?
Yeah, a little. It's funny. We've certainly crossed paths, and what's even more ironic is my father-in-law, who coached Biedenbach, obviously played NC State, NC State assistant for a long time back in the day, and he's their neighbors down in Wrightsville. So I've seen coach down there a few times in the summer. And, it's like I said, I haven't really crossed paths much in the building, which you'd think we would, but certainly been rooting from afar here and hope that they can, like I said, pull it off.
And for those who haven't connected the dots yet, Rod Brind'Amour's wife is Amy, the son of Coach Biedenbach, the connection of a former NC State player from back in the 60s. Rod joining us here on WSJS. Last state question, then we'll get to hockey. It's been amusing to see how much of a star DJ Burns has become. It's gotten so out of hand that NFL scouts see his footwork, see his size, and think, maybe we could put him on the O-line. Maybe he looks pretty good at left tackle. Is there a place you can put a 6'9", 275-pound frame on the ice?
Well, I got to see him on skates, but, the natural thing you could say was just put some pads on him and stick him in goal, but you got to be able to skate to do that too, so I'm not sure he's had any experience with that, but I think he's probably doing the right thing, to be honest with you.
I'll have to go back and check and see if Zdeno Chara checks in at around 6'9", 275. I forget, was it you or LaRose that dropped gloves with Zdeno back in the day?
Well, not too many people. I know I did, and I doubt Rosie did too, but might have been hanging on. That guy was, one of those rare hockey players that could be a great athlete at that height and could skate and do everything, so kind of glad he's, we don't have to deal with him anymore.
Your final homestand of the regular season is this weekend. Rod Brind'Amour is joining us here. Your team's going to be in the playoffs for a sixth straight year. Obviously, your goals are higher than just getting to the playoffs at this point. But do you take a moment with some fans or even players on the team to add perspective in case some take for granted what you've done? Because you've been an assistant and a player during the nine-year drought.
Yeah. Well, I think you say that, but I mean, we're at a good place in that, you know, the expectations is, like you mentioned, certainly higher than just making playoffs, but just making playoffs is quite an accomplishment too. And in our sport, that's 6 months of pretty good hockey to be able to do that. And being consistent is what, you know, I think we strive to be, and obviously taking the next step, that's the end goal here. But I think the process is just as important. And we've certainly, I think, done a nice job of that over the years. It's all a testament to, you know, the group we have and certainly the leadership and the commitment the players make here. So it's been easy for me to be a part of it. And like I said, we got one more thing to accomplish, and that's what we're all about.
Last year, you were without Andrei Svechnikov and Max Pacioretty in the playoffs, and really Teuvo Teravainen as well, who got banged up. This year, knock on wood, you're pretty deep. You've added some firepower at the deadline. As a result, how much different is your feel going into the playoffs this season, just from a coaching X's and O's style of play standpoint versus last year's conference finals run?
Yeah, well, listen, we still have 7 games to go, so hopefully we can, you know, having this conversation right as we go into the playoffs just means we're a healthy group, because that's been really a downfall in a lot of the years. We go back to, you know, every year we seem to have missing a key piece, whether it was goalies 1 year or missing a couple players here or there. And when you get into, you know, the playoffs, you got to have everything to win. And so staying healthy is actually as important as anything. Then finding the right combinations and the chemistry, obviously you got to be hitting at on all cylinders. So that's my job here the next couple weeks until that gets, you know, that time comes, to make sure that we are all firing on all cylinders and, you know, ready to roll.
How much patience did you have with the goaltending throughout the year, considering the situation that Freddie went through and bringing in other guys like Martin off waivers and where you're at now, and juxtapose that with how you feel about your goaltending situation going into the playoffs?
Well, it was crazy, right? The start of the year, the first 20 games or so, 25, I actually think our numbers might have been the worst in the league if you just go by numbers. And Edmonton, I think, had the second worst, and they fired their coach. So I guess I feel pretty lucky that that didn't happen. But it was the ability. We knew the ability was always there. It was just, I think they were all kind of just a tad off together. And then that's, you know, what happens. And then all of a sudden they all get together and decide, hey, we play pretty well, let's do it. And the next thing you know, that's what's flipped in this whole last 3 months. So is the goaltending has just been lights out. So if we can get some semblance of this continuing, certainly it bodes well for us.
Well, take me behind the scenes of how dynamics work with the front office, where, like, are there points where you can be impatient and seeing that goaltending stat early on in the season, or trying the uncertainty of whether Freddie Anderson's going to come back, where you say, or somebody in the room saying, let's give it another few weeks, let's give it a month, let's see where we're at by the end of February? Because it did seem that things really started to click right around the trade deadline. But you tell me about those dynamics.
Well, it was way before that, as far as, you know, it was really mid-December when I just felt like the goaltending just upped its game. And our overall team game didn't change much and hasn't really throughout the year. And that's where we talk about being consistent. I think that's one of the things I really appreciate about the group, is night in, night out, our game's pretty much the same. And then you add, like I said, the goaltending got really solid. And then all of a sudden the wind started creeping in every night, as opposed to what we were having at the start of the year. So it's a comforting feeling knowing now that we got 3 guys that we feel we could throw in here and be ready to go. And, you know, it's such a crucial position. So we'll see. We got, like I said, we still can't get too far ahead of ourselves here. We got still a race to try to win here. And that's what we're going to, you know, try to do.
Bruins tomorrow night, Caps on Friday. NC State basketball Saturday, and then the Blue Jackets, Canes on Sunday. I know you're watching the game at home Saturday, but if State pulls off the upset, is there any percentage chance that Rod's sneaking out and going to the bell tower to Hillsboro to see what that looks like?
Zero chance. I can envision what that looks like, and that's not somewhere I need to be. Sure.
Coach, best of luck. Thank you so much for making the time for us, and we'll see you sometime soon. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, you got it. Take care.